Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Luckily, I haven't almost burned down several small towns with nuclear reactors.
I guess that's true. Would it really be burning, though?
True. Well, yes, actually. I mean, there would be the radiation, but at first there'd be a lot of burning.
Okay, I guess that's fair. Before we get this week's episode, a few things. First, we would like to thank Jesse, who made a donation to the show. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Jesse. It's very kind of you.
Jesse, you rock. We love you.
Also, as always, please, if you like the show, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. It really helps us out. I say this every week because it really does help us out. Constant reminders, I know, can be annoying to those who have already done it, but those who have not, please. It takes only a few moments, and it really does get our show a lot more attention and gets more listeners, which we really do like. On to this week's episode. It is Homer Defined, episode 8F04, originally aired October 17th, 1991, written by Howard Gewirtz. I'm hopefully saying that correctly. This is the only episode he ever wrote. Only one. He's a freelance writer. He's written a lot of television, directed and produced a lot of television. This is the only Simpsons episode he ever wrote. Directed by Mark Kirkland. Its original airing acquired a 12.7 Nielsen rating, approximately 11.69 million viewing households. See, 36th. Second in its time slot behind Cosby Show, tied with In Living Color as the highest rated show on Fox that week. So, it's still technically first. It still has a streak going, right, Matt?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very important that Simpsons are always first.
I also...
But they are gracious winners. They can share.
I also want to mention I have a cold, so I apologize already for any kind of weirdness my voice goes through. But I am soldiering through it. Chalkboard gag for this week's episode is I will not squeak chalk, because it is particularly squeaky this week. It was like 3 seconds long, and it still annoyed me.
That's true. It's one of the worst sounds in the world. So, for once, they got it right.
Yeah. Couch gag. An alien is sitting on the couch and escapes through a trap door.
Now, that's original.
Yeah. It's certainly a departure from everything that's been there before. Like, it's all pretty much concerned the family. And this is the first time we've seen something really crazy. I kind of surprised they didn't just go with Kang or Kodos. But it's more like a Space Mutant Must Die alien, I guess. That's what it looked like to me. I think it looked like one of the Space Mutant aliens.
Sounds about right.
Guest appearances in this episode, Magic Johnson and Chick Hearn as themselves. Magic Johnson, of course, the famous basketball player, Hall of Famer. Chick Hearn as the Hall of Famer announcer, I believe. Did he just recently pass? I'm not sure.
You're asking the wrong person.
He announced Lakers game for like 40 years. I forget if he... Yes. No, he... Well, he died in 2002. Okay, so it wasn't recent. But he did... He's not alive. He announced it for a long, long time. Also, we have John Lovitz appearing as... Let me see if I get this right. Aristotle Amadopoulos. Is that... You think I got that,
Matt? I believe you are correct.
Okay, good. He's the Greek owner of the Shelbyville nuclear power plant.
He also is the guy on the soap opera Marge is watching at the beginning.
Yeah, John Lovitz also does the voice of the soap opera guy. I forget we know the name of that soap opera. Did they ever actually identify the name of it?
I know they did, but I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, I can't remember either. Before we get started, I do want to say that this episode has a particular place in my heart. As a child, we had a few episodes taped. This was one of them. And so I watching it this week, it was very nostalgic. Felt I went back to childhood. I know. So I think Matt's gonna have to talk me down from ranking us too high, but we will see. We'll get there. Episode starts with Homer reading U.S. of A. Today, which is a clear USA Today parody.
Oh, now I get it.
Now you got it, Matt.
I got it. I finally got it.
Lisa makes fun of it because of all the graphs and pictures and stuff. Like USA Today is famously a very not very journalistic heavy newspaper. It's very like they make fun of the front page of the, and this is was it, number two is number one. They talk about pencils.
It's a feel good kind of newspaper. They're not known for their hard hitting journalism. It's what you get at hotels.
Yeah, USA Today. I would call it BuzzFeed in print form. It's a newspaper. Yeah. Newspaper BuzzFeed. We find out it's Milhouse's birthday. Bart has gotten him a very risque card with talking about ladies' bongos and then not talking about drums. This whole episode is really, it does, the B story is kind of that Bart Milhouse relationship. And it's, on upon rewatching, I had forgotten that it really happened in this episode. I remembered only the Homer stuff. I totally forgotten about the Bart Milhouse stuff, it was really interesting to me and really kind of actually stuck with me more than the Homer stuff kind of after the rewatching for the show. Bart goes on the bus and gives Milhouse his present, which is a set of Krusty the Clown walkie-talkies. Bart is, you know, like, upset that, you know, he's like, well, you know, wonder why Milhouse didn't have a party. And at the same time, everyone in the bus is, like, talking about going to Milhouse's party. Eventually, we find out Otto pretty much spills the beans by announcing on the loudspeaker loud and clear how great Milhouse's party was. And Milhouse reveals that he couldn't have invited, Bart was not invited to his party. I actually have this because it really kind of sets the scene for how depressed Bart is about this.
You did have a party. You didn't invite me. I thought we were best friends.
Sorry, Bart.
It's kind of very upsetting. It made me think of the times when I felt betrayed by a friend.
Yeah, seriously, because, I mean, when you think about it, really, Milhouse is the only friend that Bart has, and to be shafted by literally your only friend, that's got to make you feel low.
Yeah, and they get further into it later on in the episode about, like, we don't have a real clear picture of it, and Marge kind of paints it later on, but it really is, it kind of sets, like, a little emotional undertone for this episode where, I don't know, the Homer bits can be a little cheesy. We cut to Homer at work. I pulled this bit about donuts because I think it's funny.
Gee, lemon. Ugh, cherry. Ooh, custard. Purple.
The purple. That's, we see that later. Absolutely. On. We see that later on in Bart on the Road, right? With
purple is a fruit.
Purple is a fruit. That's it. I do find it funny that Homer, to find out what's inside the donuts, he just pokes his finger into them. Like,
mm-hmm. Is there a better way, Robbie? I mean, what else would you do?
Oh, just look at the side and you can see the color, and that pretty much is a clue.
No.
The only time that kind of can backfire is when it's lemon and you're not sure if it's custard or lemon.
Either way, it's amazing. So
no. Oh, Matt, we have lemon is not nearly as amazing as custard.
Oh hell no, you did not. All right. You know what? Next time you're here, we're going to have a throwdown. We should have had this fight earlier today.
About lemon and custard donuts?
Yes. Lemon is the best flavor.
Oh, wow. Well, at least I know who to give them to.
Exactly.
We have, I do like this little bit where it sets up this, like, the delineation between Burns and the workers. Because Homer is kind of palling around with Lenny and Carl, and they're talking about the same movie that Burns had seen, and Burns thought it was disgusting and awful. And then Homer and the guys absolutely love it for the same reasons Burns hates it. We learn about Smithers' dog, Hercules. Burns is also disgusted by that. But we finally get to the point where Homer's donut had earlier, when he's eating those donuts, had, one of the fillings had splattered on a meter, on a little heat readout, I guess it was. Is that what that was, Matt?
I believe it's a core temperature readout to see whether the fission reaction is getting out of hand.
Which, yes, I'm sure that's handled by exactly one little graph on a meter. That's all it takes.
Only one person has that little indicator. It's not like everyone in the plant.
But eventually, Homer is sleeping, and an alarm goes off.
Huh? Noise. Bad noise.
5 minutes before critical mass.
Critical what? Okay, don't panic. Whatever problem this is, I'm sure they know how to handle it. Huh? Ah, it's my problem! We're doomed!
Sector 7G is now being isolated.
So Homer is now locked inside his section, which, is this the first time we've heard 7G? I don't think it is. We've heard of this before, Sector 7G.
I believe in Homer's Odyssey, when he becomes a safety inspector, they mention it.
Okay. It couldn't be the first time. I'm sure they've mentioned it before. We learned that Homer was hired through Project Bootstrap.
Thank you, President Ford.
President Ford is responsible. Homer is going, he's freaking out a little bit, trying to fix the problem.
Okay, somewhere there's a thingy that tells you how to work this stuff. The manual, right. Ah, it's as bad as a phone book.
Congratulations on your purchase of a Fissionator 1952 slow fission reactor. Don't get to the point, man! Ooh, what's this? Don't! Who would have thought a nuclear reactor would be so complicated?
We learn a lot of things in this little bit of that the reactor is from 1952.
I mean, nuclear technology, unfortunately, has not come a long way since the 50s. So most of the reactors in use in the U.S. were designed in the 50s and built in the 60s and 70s. So that's pretty accurate.
Chilling news we've learned from Matt today, folks. All our nuclear reactors, even though nuclear energy is really probably the best bet for the future, other than, you know, solar and wind.
Yep.
I love this so much. Homer freaking out trying to solve this problem. He goes back to his memory of learning, I guess, about what to do when there's a meltdown. And he's too busy with his Rubik's Cube to learn what button to push. Here's Homer freaking out some more.
Okay, gotta pick a button, pick a button, pick a button. No, one potato, two potato, three potato, four. No, wait, bubblegum in a dish. How many pieces do you wish? No, no.
30 seconds to core meltdown.
Oh, Smithers, I guess there's nothing left to do but kiss my sorry ass goodbye.
May I, sir?
Is this the first time Smithers says something wildly inappropriate to Burns, or did that happen earlier?
He's alluded to it before, but this is pretty much a very, considering, and this is, we see this throughout the town, because news of this is spread, and, like, all the people in the town are kind of freaking out and trying to deal with the fact that they may be dying or in danger very soon. Mo and Barney are just kind of, you know, Barney's very happy with his life. He thinks he's made good choices. Marge is praying. She promises to give better canned food in the next canned food drive. The old folks decide to watch Wheel of Fortune instead of worrying about it. And we learn from Professor Frink that that unfortunately the part of the city that he and Kent Brockman are in would suffer just extraordinary pain before dying, not just instant painless death.
I think that zone of instant death is actually pretty small, unless you're talking about an actual weapon.
Yeah.
It's the radiation burns that'll kill you the rest of the way.
Yeah, I would figure it'd mostly just be like a Chernobyl instead of...
A mere three-mile island,
yes, exactly. The kids are duck and covering at school. I don't know if that's a word I just did, but I did it anyway. Skinner, that would not help. Skinner seems very self-assured that would fix the problem. Yes, duck and cover. They made fun of me. Well, they should, Skinner. That's not going to solve any problem. They're not being bombarded with, like, typical warfare.
That's true.
It's radiation.
Ducking and covering doesn't help you from being burned.
Yes, radiation goes right through those desks. Finally, it's been escalating as we go. The countdown is on. Homer finally has to make a decision about what button to push to try and save the day.
Eeny, beeny, miny, mo. Catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, beeny, miny, mo.
And that's beautiful because it ends the act with him pushing the button. Like, it obscures the camera. It goes to black. And then it hits commercial.
It's so great because the suspense is fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing. So good. So fun. I'll throw it over to you, Matt. Are we alive? Did they make it?
No. Unfortunately, the plant still exploded, and that's where The Simpsons ended. So, sorry, guys. End the show early. Oh, wait. No, that's right. Homer, surprisingly, picked the right button. If you've seen his console, you know he literally has dozens of, if not hundreds of buttons, and he somehow picked the right one. So hopefully it's just his subconscious sneaking in the right button that he actually watched way back when. So, of course, we now have another dictionary entry for Homer under lucky instead of stupid this time.
I forgot to mention, yes, we did get the first entry, stupid, next with Homer's picture next to it, which I do love that motif that occurs a few throughout the episode.
Three times in this episode. It's fantastic. Of course, Homer is, everyone's super relieved, especially Homer. And then we cut to Homer in the cafeteria talking to Lenny and Carl, whose main line is... Hey, thanks for saving all our lives. Yeah, because that's what you would be like. You'd be like, oh, yeah, thanks. You wouldn't be like flipping the hell out. There wouldn't be some kind of crazy investigation into how it got that bad in the first place.
Matt, do we have to start talking about drilling for oil in Roosevelt's head again?
I think we do, yes. Okay. It's a very important thing to do.
I think that's going to be
that. There's a lot of great visual humor in this episode, and I think that really elevates it, because they're just quick gags. I mean, you got the religious people praying, and they stop, and just, phew, and you got the couple in the closet who were, you know, they were having sex because they thought the world was ending, and when the guy leaves, the woman asks him, will I see you again? And his response is, oh, yeah, baby, next meltdown.
How often is this happening? I think that's what question that raises.
Yeah, right? I mean, this is just terrifying at best, but my particular favorite,
Matt, is the rats heading back in to the, back into the plant. That's, yeah, they go back home.
That's how the animals, that's how you know it's safe, when the animals are cool with it.
Yeah, exactly.
But while they're in the cafeteria, Homer has some advice for Lenny and Carl.
Hey, way to save our lives!
Yeah, we owe you one!
Well, you know, boys, a nuclear reactor is a lot like a woman. You just have to read the manual and press the right button.
Which, that's absolutely true. All you guys out there, and ladies, for your females and even others, just make sure you read the manual and push the buttons indicated. There should be some pull-out drawings there for you. There are also some YouTube clips on which buttons to press. So feel free to go out there and find them.
You sure it's YouTube, Matt? You sure it's YouTube we're talking about?
Well, for the G-rated buttons, okay, yes, it's YouTube. G-rated buttons. I think Vimeo has the other buttons.
Vimeo? I'm thinking of other stations, but we're not going to talk about it on our Simpsons podcast.
Oh, okay. But while Homer is giving this advice, Burns and Smithers come in and immediately pull him away. They have decided that he is going to be their next employee of the month.
Homer, for your bravery and skill, we award you this ham, this plaque, this discount coupon book, and my own personal thumbs up. And to ensure your immortality, your heroic visage will be added to our wall of fame. Oh, and what's this? A congratulatory phone call from Irvin Magic Johnson?
Magic Johnson!
Yellow.
Is this really Homer Simpson?
Yeah.
Wow. Homer, I just used our last time out to call and congratulate you on averting that nuclear holocaust.
Well, thank you.
Magic, if you play on that ankle, you'll be in incredible pain.
I don't care.
Magic, what if people think a guy's a hero, but he was really just lucky?
Don't worry. Sooner or later, people like that are exposed as the frauds they are.
Thanks, Magic.
So, I gotta say, being employee of the month at the nuclear power plant is pretty sweet. You get a lot of nice stuff. At my company, you just get a little certificate, but apparently you get a ham at the power plant. So, you know, that's obviously the place to work.
My question is, Matt, is Smithers getting all this stuff every month? Because he's been the employee of the month for, like, it looks like years in a row now. Is he getting to talk to Magic Johnson every time?
I don't know about Magic Johnson. I think the Magic Johnson phone call was because of the nuclear holocaust thing.
Okay.
But I think he gets a ham every month, which that means that Smithers living by himself. Maybe he's sharing the ham with Hercules, his little Yorkshire Terrier.
I know, the cute little dog.
That'd be sweet.
And I do want to say that they did. I saw some stuff online about how they didn't, for like Magic Johnson kind of sticks out. Like, why just suddenly Magic Johnson? He does say Showtime in that first act. And Magic Johnson was the leader of the Showtime Lakers. So there's a little bit there. There's something.
Interesting. I'm afraid I don't know a whole lot about Magic Johnson in the early 90s.
My bad. Okay, well, let me break it down for you, Matt. Early 90s, Magic Johnson at that time. This is before the AIDS thing happened. Before we found out he was HIV positive. But he was still a superstar. He was kind of getting to the end of his career. During the 80s, obviously, the Lakers were one of the best teams in the NBA. Consistently, they had legendary battles with the Celtics. This is really before, as in the early 90s, Jordan was kind of ascending into what he'd become, you know, the most recognizable person on Earth. Magic Johnson was still very, very famous.
All right, fair enough. I just think it's funny that Magic Johnson is lying to him. It's like, oh yeah, I took our last time out to call you. So we see that while it's important that Magic Johnson call Homer, it's not that important.
No.
And of course, we see Homer, who is completely let down by fraud, which apparently will be next to him in the dictionary as well. So Homer's picture all over every dictionary. So kids, go grab your dictionaries. Go to your grandparents' house, because I'm pretty sure they're the only people who still have dictionaries on paper. And pull them out and look under, let's see, fraud, lucky, stupid, and I believe the actual name Homer. And you'll probably find Homer's picture under all yes, of those. All if you have those. A good dictionary.
But I think that this is kind of the theme of the A story, of him worrying about people finding out that he's succeeded through dumb luck, not really doing anything worth applauding.
Well, that's kind of Homer's entire life, is succeeding through dumb luck. I mean, he's got a pretty sweet life, and he doesn't deserve any of it, really.
I think
he just got lucky.
I think, Matt, that's kind of the root of why I like this episode so much. Like,
you know, you're starting to bring me around, and that's going to make ranking this tough.
I was going to say, I think that's why I like this episode so much. It's like part of the reason I like Homer's Enemy so much is that it pokes holes about, like, why is Homer so successful? Like, he's supposed to be like this dumb guy, and yet he just wins at everything and is always doing the right thing. And like in his careers, it's just inexplicable. And I think until you said that, I didn't really put that together, but I think that's probably the root of why I like this episode a lot.
Yes. Well, once Homer learns that he's going to be eventually found out for being a fraud, because if Magic Johnson says it, it's going to happen. We cut to Bart and Lisa watching Itchy and Scratchy, and My Dinner with Itchy is the name of the episode. And it's not particularly memorable or really tied to the episode in any way, but it's a pretty good Itchy and Scratchy cartoon.
It's the first of what I don't understand why they make. I know they make at least one other reference to My Dinner with Andre. In the show.
Well, because that's an important cultural touchstone.
Have you ever watched,
obviously.
You ever watched that movie, Matt?
Nope.
You're not missing anything. It does have the dude from... I didn't think so. It does have the Sicilian from Princess Bride.
Oh God, what's his name? Wallace Shawn.
That's his... Okay.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's one of the two people that are featured in the movie.
Okay, now I kind of want to see it. Thanks.
It's just two dudes talking for like an hour and a half, so...
If Wallace Shawn is one of those people, I'm okay with that.
All right. Well, we'll add that to the list to McBain and My Dinner with Andre, the Simpsons.
And that stupid baby one.
Baby's Day Out. That's right. Awesome. We're going to set this up. We're going to do it.
We're going to have the worst Netflix recommendations ever. But anyway, as Bart and Lisa are watching this, Homer tries to sneak in quietly with his ham and plaque and coupon book. But Marge, of course, having the bat-like ears that she does, hears him and runs up to him and says, "Oh, look at this. What happened?" And this is when the family learns that Homer is the one that saved everybody's lives. Not put them in danger, because no one knows that yet, but he's the one who saved everyone. And, of course, Lisa is absolutely in awe, because this is probably the first time her father's ever done anything right for her. So she is speaking in hushed tones to him. And then, of course, it's dinner, where Marge has cooked the ham, because, you know, you get a giant ham like that, you got to cook it up right away. I'm sure it's a quality piece of meat that the Simpsons don't get that often.
Well, Homer was carrying it around all day. It probably was worried about freshness at that point.
That's also a good point. But Homer, of course, is just way too bummed out to enjoy his dinner.
How are you enjoying your ham, homie?
It tastes so bitter, it's like ashes in my mouth.
It's actually more of a honey glaze.
Maybe you ate a clove.
What's your problem, boy?
I had a fight with Milhouse.
That four eyes with a big nose, you don't need friends like that.
How zen.
I just love how it starts out with Homer being completely depressed about something that happened to him, and then he's telling Bart, "Oh, you don't need that guy for a friend."
Yeah.
Because, all right, sure, Homer, whatever you say.
I like how Homer. Lisa's it's all this is like completely skewed her perspective suddenly. She's just like she's suddenly giving Homer giving him more leeway, I guess, not as heavily critical after she's learned he's like a hero.
Yeah, it's like the complete opposite of Lisa's substitute, where she's completely downplaying anything he says, even when sometimes it does have merit. And this one, she's like, "Oh, it's okay. You probably got a clove. You know, you're good, Dad. You saved everybody." Oh, but of course, after dinner, Bart goes upstairs and he hears his walkie-talkie that he's left on. And it's like, "Milhouse to Bart, Milhouse to Bart, please don't hate me." Which is just so heartbreaking that poor Milhouse wants his only friend not to hate him for something his mom did. And it's so funny because we when Flanders failed, we talked about how Homer is just completely immature throughout the most of the episode. And it's hard to believe, unless they were really portraying Homer as a complete child. And in this episode, we see kind of the same thing. Bart is blaming Milhouse for his mom's decisions, but it is a little more believable coming from a 10-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. It's a 10-year-old I could see, especially Bart. Like, I could see him being upset, like, especially considering that what we learn when, you know, when Marge is talking to Mrs. Van Houten about their relationship. Like, I can buy that he'd be so heartbroken about it that he can't move past, you know, just the fact that they aren't friends anymore.
Yeah, and of course, Bart, like we said, being emotionally immature, turns the walkie-talkie off and throws it in the trash, and we cut to black.
Yeah, another heart-crushing act break. Homer has, you know, with his success with being Employee of the Month, he is introduced to Aristotle Amadopoulos, which is the owner of the show.
Wait, real quick. I just want to make sure we know that Homer takes the Employee of the Month spot right next to Burns and immediately dings his door.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot.
I thought that was hilarious. And the whole thing with Smithers having to park way in the back, which we will have a callback to in, what's the Stonecutters episode's name? Homer the Great.
No. Homer the Great. You're right. Yes. Homer the Great.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Like I was going to say, like, yeah, Smithers is left parking like a mile away from the plant. And we, throughout the years, they kind of shift where how the parking in the plant works. At a certain point, I think Homer is parked next door to the house. I can't remember which episode that is, but I know it happens.
That is the Stonecutters
that
episode.
That is Homer the Great? Okay.
Once he becomes part of the Stonecutters, they're like, oh, same old parking space? He's like, yeah, but they give me these rollerblades to glide to work. And but, poor Smithers doesn't even have rollerblades.
Homer's introduced to Mr. Amadopoulos, which previously mentioned, voiced by John Lovitz. And he wants Homer to come to his plant and give them a motivational speech to make them more productive workers, because Mr. Amadopoulos does not think highly of his workforce. He thinks they're lazy, awful people, monsters, for the way he talks. Smithers does come in late and talks about how the parking is awful and immediately is dismissed by Burns. And we get a little bit of that jealousy that we saw in Homer and Delilah with Smithers. Homer is obviously very nervous about this, which... Similarly to Homer and Delilah, where he had to give a speech. And he doesn't know what to say. Barney gives him the advice to imagine everyone in their underwear.
Which, that does not work, unless you're a very odd person, just so you guys know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's all about mind frame anyway. We're cutting back and forth. We see Bart playing Monopoly with Maggie. You're not really playing Monopoly at that point, Bart. I hate to break it to you, but Maggie, Marge is telling him to stop feeding Maggie hotels, and Bart says, oh, we have plenty of them. Yeah, I'm sure that's the concern.
He's not worried about Maggie at all.
No.
But, I do like Bart's variation where you look through the cards for the one you want.
Yeah, you just grab the one you want. Make Monopoly at least a little shorter. This is a great moment in this episode. Marge goes to talk to Milhouse's mother. This is the first time we meet Luann Van Houten. We had not known. This is the first time we hear Milhouse's last name, and the first time we meet his mother. She looks exactly like Milhouse. That was kind of I think they talk about character design. They wanted to make her look a lot like Milhouse. And Marge goes and kind of defends Bart and defends their relationships to Bart's relationship with Milhouse to Luann, and it honestly it shines new light on Bart and Milhouse's relationship.
Well, look, I know Bart can be a handful, but I also know what he's like inside. He's got a spark. It's not a bad thing. Of course, it makes him do bad things.
Well, Marge, the other day Milhouse told me my meatloaf sucks. He must have gotten that from your little boy, because they certainly don't say that word on TV.
Well, I can't defend everything he does. But let's face it, all Bart and Milhouse have is each other. They're too young for girls, and they're a popular target for bullies. And in the Christmas pageant, they're always sheep. Please, please let them be friends.
That bit, I know the pain of being cast as a sheep.
I was going to say, like, that thing about being cast as sheep, that is the thing that I think got me the most. We also see Like that, like it shines a whole new light on that relationship. Like, you don't see the depth of, like, Bart, like, he's painted as, like, this troublemaker, but that's not unpopular. But then you start to really think about it, like, Milhouse is his only friend. And, you know, they're like, they are targets of bullies, and they are, like, kind of the, you know, they're cast as sheep kind of kids. And, like, and they show right after this, they look out, you look outside, and Milhouse is on the teeter-totter? Just going up
by himself, just whap, whap, whap.
Just up and down by himself. It's so sad. And eventually, Milhouse walkie-talkies Bart and says, "We can be friends again." And, you know, Bart immediately is over there. And, you know, it's their friends. Mrs. Van Houten caves.
Bart's reaction is, "Wait, we can be friends? Did your mom die?"
Oh, that's true. And he has the BB gun. He immediately goes to get his BB gun and cocks it like 4 times.
Oh, worst influence ever. I know, Bart. And, like, I miss my friends that were like that.
Bart, even Marge is like, he has this spark. It makes him do bad things. Lisa is following Homer around, profiling him, which makes him even more nervous. Eventually, we get to the point where he is giving his speech at the nuclear power plant in Shelbyville. And he's stuttering, stammering, not doing a great. Tries to picture everyone in the underwear. Does not work. He ends up picturing himself in the underwear as well, and that freaks him out. Luckily, and unluckily, the same alarm goes off in the Shelbyville plant. And Homer has to try and save the day again.
Do what you did before.
All right. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollered, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny.
Crisis has been averted. Everything is super.
I love it that they programmed the computer to say things are super.
That's fantastic. I just want to know, why do they think he could fix it unless they have the exact same model of control console?
Maybe they just figure, oh, he knows what he's doing. He stopped at the other plant. Obviously, he can figure it out. It doesn't matter what we have.
Homer's a genius like that.
Yeah, Homer's... exactly. Of course, now everyone has seen him solve the problem, and now that he's doing it through dumb luck and stupidity... They are clear.
It's amazing that it actually works again.
It does work twice in a row. They pretty much the whole town kind of figures out, oh, Homer's not the hero we thought. He did solve the problem, but certainly not through his own merit. He just was lucky. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, is Homer a hero? The answer is no. Ken Brockman reporting. But the kind of they've moved past the kind of the news cycle moves past it. And the episode ends with them looking at the dictionary, and it's to pull a Homer, to succeed despite idiocy, and we get a montage of different Magic Johnson. Who else do they do? I pulled a Homer. Who does
Barney?
Barney pulls a Homer.
Chief Wiggum.
Yes, they all pull a Homer. They do to succeed despite idiocy. Oh. It warms my heart. I love this episode, Matt. It's so good. I love it. It's like fresh from my childhood.
Yeah, you're really, really making me like this episode even more. I mean, I thought it was a good episode, but you were like, "Oh, it's one of my favorites." I'm like, "Really?" I mean, it's not that. Not, it's good, but it's not that. But you're right. It is the archetypal Homer episode, and is the exact same skeleton as Homer's Enemy, which is a better episode, to be fair, but is obviously one of the best. So
it also makes me think of Deep Space Homer.
Yes.
Where he succeeds. And well, I mean all those other, like, March versus the Monorail. He saves the day, not really his own, like, succeed. This really is. It's kind of, you're right. This is like the skeleton. Can we think of something before this that does the same thing?
Before this? No, yeah. I don't think so, but I think they come back to it a lot.
Yeah, they do come back to it a lot. But I mean, it works. I had not even thought about it until this day, but it really is. I mean, maybe Bart the Daredevil? Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit, I mean, there.
He had already succeeded by the time he did something stupid, so the doing something stupid didn't actually help him out.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. This is the first episode where they use that formula of Homer does something stupid and it saves the day.
Oh my god. So
good.
Now I'm very interested to see where this one goes. Ooh. Yeah, I got Matt on my side a little bit. We got to think about it a little bit more. But we will rank this episode at the end of the show. Before we move on, guys, please email me my favorite episode submissions. Still take them in. Got a few more coming up this season. Please send them in. No wrong answers. Want to emphasize that. Email me at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. Title my favorite episode, simply explaining why that given episode is your favorite. Always like to see different answers. A lot of fun. It's always one of my favorite parts of Simpsons fandom. On to comments from the news group. Not a bunch of stuff. One thing that stood out to me, a lot of talk about Smithers and Burns' relationship, specifically sexually, about their if they've done something.
Well, now that's an interesting conversation. Up to this point, it's been pretty obvious, you know, how Smithers feels, but the question of whether they've already done something, that's an interesting thought.
Most people are like, no, but some people are like, but you don't know. I'm like, eh.
But maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't. And then, I mean, it becomes clear that never, of course not. But at this point in the show, you know, that's still up in the air. They don't know. It's something that really is never, has there ever really been a, I don't know, like a Smithers Burns. Why haven't we seen a heavy duty Smithers Burns? I mean, we've seen it like Homer the Smithers a little bit in that.
Yeah.
Like, do you think of anything, Matt? I can't think of any that are just a Smithers and Burns episode.
With the two of them, there's lots of just one or the other, but I don't really think. And seriously, correct us if we're wrong on this, but I don't think there are any where it just explores their relationship.
Both of us have a blind spot with later seasons. Like after 15, 16, 17, I'm very spotty, but I can't think of one. So if you guys can name one, please let us know. I'm very interested. On to our listener question of the week, which very interested. I love the responses to this one. I was wondering about this question because it's a little odd one, but you guys pulled through again. Most indefensible action by Homer and why? It made me not think When Flanders Fails was so bad, really. Looking back, even though some of the things are, we'll get to the answers. Here we go. John, Chava Style 311, three people, Tony Randall, Maude, and Grimey, have died indirectly because of Homer's actions. #, because I am Homer Simpson. Amanda at Drawn to Insanity, allowing Lady Gaga to remain in town. It speaks for itself. Izzy at Izzy Steak Fries. Good handle. Bart's Comet kicking Flanders out of his own bomb shelter. Yes, that's true. We don't.
I mean, to be fair, he had a solid reason for that. So I think it's a little more defensible than the rest of this stuff. But yeah, that was a dick move.
We don't need left-handed stores in the future, as was pointed out on.
No.
Moving on Facebook, okay, Brian, choosing to go to Moe's when he's supposed to be picking up a saxophone read for Lisa's recital and Lisa's pony. Not only did he forget to get it in the first place, he couldn't even remember what instrument she played when he was granted a second chance to buy it. Seeing her play her solo with a bad read is heartbreaking. It's one of the most selfish things he has ever done. Yes, I agree. Abby, when he intentionally hung the jury in Freddie Quimby's trial. I mean, it turned out for the best, but subverting our justice system to get a free hotel room is really wrong. That's true. From Chris, power listener Chris, Homer is responsible for the death of multiple people. Think that says enough. Also true. And finally, we have Ryan in Codependence Day. He and Marge both become alcoholics for a bit. He drives home drunk and flips the car, then frames her for the drunk driving to avoid getting a DUI himself. Moral of the story, his alcoholism is permissible, but if Marge drinks, it is deplorable to their nuclear family structure. Yeah, I had
absolutely
forgot about that. Wow, that's really bad. Whew. Gosh, Homer. It just made you, boggles the mind a little bit when you see all that together.
And there are so many that haven't been mentioned yet.
Yes. Matt, what is your choice for this answer?
I gotta say, there are a couple that really come to mind. Obviously, him being responsible for so many people's deaths. That's kind of an important one. I'd also like to mention the Cartridge family when he tells Marge he gets rid of the gun and doesn't. Because that's and leaves it in the refrigerator. That was a very close second. My first was actually the one about the saxophone when she needed the reed and he just went to Moe's instead. That is horrific. That is just terrible. But the gun one comes close.
Yeah. Yeah. I
put it in the vegetable crisper. What are the odds he would find it there?
My answer is the death of Maud Flanders. And not in Alone Again, Natura Diddly. How callous, like, Homer's just so flippant about it. And it's not, like, I like Homer's enemy a lot, even though obviously Frank Grimes is killed in that episode. I it becomes such, like, it's so dark that it turns the corner for me. This one does not do that for me. Like, I don't think it's done artfully, and you just kind of feel terrible for Flanders. And Homer is just completely, oh, yeah, like, let's get you on a dating site.
Yeah.
Hard. And I had forgotten about the drunk in Codependence Day. Yeah, that's a close second for me. Although the Cartridge family is also, oh my god, that's lying to your wife about keeping a gun in the house when you have children. Oh my lord. So
like we said, it was in the vegetable crisper.
Yeah, I'm sure. Lisa's a vegetarian.
Well, really, Lisa would probably leave it alone. She'd be like, oh, Dad. But Bart's the scariest.
Yeah,
and he probably, it's very unlikely for him to find it there.
I guess that's true. But tons of great answers, you guys. I'm so clever. And it really reminded me that he's not so bad in When Flanders Failed. Because there's much worse stuff that happens later on. Next week's question. I think we could flip this one around. Because this episode does certainly show Homer in a very heroic light. What is Homer's most heroic moment and why? I think,
that's an even better one.
Nah, I think I like it. And we can do the highs and the lows. I mean, obviously we all love Homer as a character and those really bad stuff. It's balanced out by obviously a lot of the nice and lovely and heroic things he does. I will post this question on all our social media. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. We're on Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. Again, you can email us at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. You know what time it is, Matt, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I've been scared of this a moment.
It is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the part of the show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we've watched them chronologically, eventually compiling list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where does this one go, Matt? I like that I've troubled you with it.
You're definitely infecting me.
I like that I've muddied the waters a little bit. I like it.
You have, because I just, looking back on this, watching it a couple more times, it is really funny, and it really sets up the Homer succeeds through idiocy thing, and it already pokes fun at it in the first episode it appears. It's remarkably self-aware, and it's good to have the A story be the funny one and the B story be the slightly more emotional one, but there's more of a balance here than we've seen in recent episodes between the A and the B and the funny versus heartwarming part.
Yes.
So I'm looking probably around 7 or 8. I would definitely say it's better than Bart gets hit by a car. Probably better than One Fish, Two Fish, Blowfish, Bluefish. Not so sure about Homer versus Lisa and the Eighth Commandment.
I would certainly put it above Homer versus Lisa and the Eighth Commandment. I would even maybe put it above Brush with Greatness.
Really?
But this is one of my favorites. This is probably personal top five.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, like, I watched this episode a lot when I was a kid, and it really stuck with me. And now I think it even paints a clear picture, because the Homer succeeding despite it is the thing is a hallmark in some of my favorite episodes. So, right, but I think we can compromise and put it, I would, 7. How about 7, Matt? Is that okay with you?
I think 7 is good for me.
Okay. I don't want to push it and go above Brush with Greatness, because Brush with Greatness is a great episode. I hung it on the wall. So, new number 7, Homer Defined. Lisa's Substitute still our number 1. Lastly, still Homer's Odyssey. You can find this list at our website, simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find a lot of pretty much everything there. Links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed. You can see the list, see every new episode there, obviously downloadable streaming. You can donate to the show. We appreciate that, obviously. And you can contact us through it as well. Leave comments, all that stuff. I think that'll do it. You can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. It's MixmasterCereal. Check out my comic book podcast, Hansel Boys Comics Hour, HanselBoysComicsHour.com. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
No, but I am working on my ham radio operator's license. So someday soon you'll be able to talk to me across the airwaves from across the world. So looking forward to that.
I'm just kind of astounded by the like at this point there are like 40 ways for people to contact you, Matt. I'm surprised no one's doing it. Like really, I mean we have someone reached out on our Facebook and posted a Morse code message. So there is that. But I mean at this point there's a wide breadth of ways to get in touch with you.
It is, but no one has said anything that important so far. So, you know, I'm sure someone will eventually.
Some secret mission that you have to embark on or something like that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.